Don't keep score. There's not another song, right? There is? No. Okay. Well, they weren't moving, so I was wondering. Wondering what's going on. Don't keep score. The theme of forgiveness. How many of you like to play a game or something like that and not keep score? Does anybody like that? Okay, thank you. Because I'm somebody that doesn't like to either. If I'm going to play a game or do something, I want to keep score because I want to make sure that if I win, I want to, you know, tell the others that, hey, I won. And if I didn't, I want to see how close I was to winning. Because it reminded me when I was thinking about this of a vacation our family went on a few years ago. We went camping and there was no reception, so none of us could be on the phones. That's a great vacation, by the way. And we played euchre tournament, the six of us, you know, and we rotated partners. And guess who wanted to keep track of everybody's record as we went through it all? I did. Because I wanted to make sure who was going to be the Headke family euchre champion. And I don't remember because who won because it wasn't me. So you can ask them. But anyway, in our text today that we are going to take a look at here in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus talks about not keeping score when it comes to forgiveness. And so let's take a look at this beginning in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. All right, so before we talk about Peter's question here specifically, it's important and it's worthwhile to remind you of the words that Jesus said right before this, which we talked about last week. Remember about how God wants us to deal with sin when it comes to our relationships with each other. And he gave us that three-step process on how to deal with sin. If somebody sins against you or against somebody in your family or against the church or whatever, you go to that person face to face. If they repent, it's done, over. If that doesn't work, then you bring two of your friends with you. If that doesn't work, then you take it to the church. The whole goal being, obviously, you don't want to have to go past step one, right? But, so keep that in mind now as you look again up at the screen at Peter's question. This is his question right after Jesus gives them the three-step process. How many times am I supposed to forgive this Yahoo, Jesus? Peter must have been pretty convicted by what Jesus said in order for him to ask him this question. You see, Peter is trying to quantify forgiveness. In other words, he wants to know if somebody has wronged you, is there a limit? There's got to be a limit to how many times you forgive that person. And so Jesus responds, of course, I tell you not seven times. You see, Peter thought he was aiming pretty high there with the seven, by the way. If somebody sins against you seven times, that's a lot of times to forgive somebody, isn't it? But Jesus says, not just seven times, I say 77 times. And in some versions, it's 70 times seven. Oh, good. Okay. So Jesus has given us something, you know, us humans who like to keep score, right? He's given us something to work with here. So in other words, sin 488, forgive the person. Sin 489, forgive the person. 490, all right, I'm going to forgive you again. But 491, it's revenge time, baby. Is that what Jesus is getting at here? Of course not. And the point here is up on the screen, we are not to keep score when it comes to forgiveness. So I have the question, what exactly is forgiveness? And I like this definition here. It's dying to self by releasing an offender from your bitterness or wrath. which they may deserve, by the way. It's in other words, it's giving an offender mercy, just like Christ gave you mercy, instead of the wrath that you and I deserve. So after this little exchange here with Peter, Jesus tells a parable. He tells the parable of the unforgiving servant. And I'm not going to read it out of the Bible to you. I'm just going to tell it to you. Because this is one of the more straightforward parables that Jesus tells. It's not a big mystery what Jesus is getting at. So this first picture here is this guy, a servant comes to the king. He owes this king a big debt. He's behind the eight ball. He owes a lot of money to this king. He gets on his knees. He's begging the king to forgive him of his debt. So the king finally says, okay, I forgive you of your debt. Slate's wiped clean. Then this same servant goes out, and as he's going out from the king, he comes across another of the servants who owes him money and a lot of money. And does this guy show mercy to this servant like the king just showed mercy to him? No. He starts strangling him and demanding that he repay him the debt that the servant owes him. So again, this servant, either of these servants, could be us in any situation. You see, the king has forgiven us all of our debt. And we are to go out and do the same thing to our fellow brother or sister or neighbor or whoever. The meaning here, another meaning here, is that forgiveness is the way it works in God's kingdom. It's just the way it is. If you want to operate some other way in God's kingdom, if you are more into scorekeeping or revenge or payback, you might be in some trouble. Because this is not how God has dealt with you and I. Because if God dealt with us fairly, remember we talked about this a few weeks ago, because he is a just, fair, a holy God. If he were to deal with us fairly, we'd all be going straight to hell. It's just the fact of the matter. And by us choosing not to forgive somebody, we are basically telling God we are higher than you. And up on the screen here, to not forgive is to set yourself up as an idol. You know, Jesus teaches a lot in the Gospels about forgiveness and mercy and loving our neighbor. In fact, it was so important to Jesus, he put it in his prayer, the Lord's Prayer that we say every Sunday. As we forgive those who trespass against us. But is this such an easy thing here? Because simply put, we are commanded by God to forgive. It's not a suggestion from God. It's not a recommendation. It's a command to forgive one another. Scripture teaches us to forgive as Christ forgave us. Forgive completely and repeatedly, even when you get to 490. You keep going. But what about that person who is so annoying? What about that person who has wronged you at least more than 7 times? What then? What about that serial rapist? What about that serial murderer? What about that pedophile who preys on children? Certainly God doesn't expect us to forgive that, right? He certainly would understand withholding forgiveness to that person. I have a story here I wanted to read to you. It's from Corey Ten Boom. Anybody heard of her? She protected Jews in World War II from the Nazis. And she wrote this in her book, Hiding Place. This is her talking. It was in a church in Munich where I was speaking in 1947 that I saw him. A balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. Memories of the concentration camp came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment of skin. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fraulein. How good is it to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea? It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. You know, we have talked about being a disciple. Remember a couple weeks ago, Jesus laid it out for us, what a disciple is. It's to deny self, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. You know, one of the crosses that God may be laying on before you, laying on your heart, is to forgive that person that you just can't forgive. Give it over to God. And look at the emotions and the feeling that Corey Ten Boom had after she forgave somebody who did horrible things to her and her sister and all kinds of other people. But how can we do it when it's just so hard? We know we're supposed to forgive, but sometimes it's just so hard. You know, it should come as no surprise that it's not about you. We, simply put, we can forgive because Jesus forgave us. And back up on the screen, forgiveness has everything to do with the death of Jesus Christ for sinners like you and me. But you know what? Sometimes we're the jerk, right? Sometimes we're the one that does something to somebody else, and we need forgiveness. You know, Jesus just didn't die for me and for you. He died for that person that is so irritating. He died for that serial killer. He died for Hitler. He died for Osama bin Laden. He died for whatever you want to put in there. We are all in that same boat. No matter how bad some of those people are, and make no mistake about it, they were. But because of our own sin, we're in the same boat as them. Imagine if God held our sins against us. Imagine if he held it against you, what you have done in your life. You know what? I figured this out because I like to do this kind of stats. I just told you about keeping stats when we play games in the Headkey home. But I figured this out, so I'll use myself as an example. I figure on average I commit one sin every 10 minutes, let's say. And that's probably being generous, right? It's probably more than that. But let's just say for the sake of this math problem here, it's one. So that's 6 times an hour. That's 144 a day. That's 1,008 a week. That's 52,416 in a year. And since I'm 40 years old, that's 2,096,640 sins. Now, let's take that. And by the way, I just sinned again because I lied about my age. Now let's take that and go through everybody that's sitting here in this gym, and let's add up all those sins together along with my 2.1 million. Add them up all together. You know what? We don't even come close to how much our sin has offended God. Jesus took all of those sins to the cross and died for every single one of them because he loves you and because he loves me. And I got a picture up here. You know, even as Jesus was nailed to the cross, his hands with those huge nails were pierced. His feet were pierced with that huge nail into the cross. And as he's on that cross, he even said these words: "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He wasn't just talking to the people that were right there. He's talking to all of us. And that's why Jesus was on that cross, because of our sins. Because he loves us that much. And so we can come before Jesus and thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for knowing what you had to do, which was die on that cross in my place. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.